This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9, we continue to study the life of Solomon. And we come to chapter 9. Give you background, some of you that haven't been here for the whole study, and just give you where we're at. Solomon has just dedicated the temple, and he had built the temple. The Lord had promised David that a temple would be built. David desired to build the temple, but God said he could not do it. Remember that David had gathered gold and silver that was to be used in the temple before he died and set it apart. And then he had also made arrangements for other things to be used. And then Hiram, who was an admirer of David, was the king of Tyre, and what is located now Lebanon. And Hiram brought the wood for the temple. And Solomon built the temple, and we saw that it was completed. In last couple studies, we looked at the dedication, where Solomon gathered all of Israel together and dedicated the temple to the Lord and prayed for the nation of Israel and also challenged the nation of Israel, as we saw on Sunday afternoon. This evening we're going to be taking a look at verses 1 through 9 of chapter 9 of 1 Kings. The temple dedication has been completed, and then we're going to pick it up here. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eye and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people. And all this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto his land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and have served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. Help us to gather the truths that you would have in store for us, and help us to see that things have not changed from the days of Solomon, the days that Israel had all the blessings and yet forgot and turned away from you. And Father, we see even much happening the same in the day in which we live, where we have been so blessed as a people in the land, and yet how quickly we forget and turn from you. Lord, help us to remember all the blessings that have been ours, and help us to seek You. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can imagine, all the nation of Israel had been gathered together, and the beautiful temple had been finished. The other buildings on the Temple Mount were completed. Solomon's residence, his wife Pharaoh, the daughter of Pharaoh, her residence, the armory, and the other two buildings. There were five buildings besides the temple that he built on the Temple Mount. But the temple outshined them all as it was built to the Lord. And we know that on the inside of the temple, although only the priests could enter the holy place, and only the high priest was ever allowed to enter the Holy of Holies, and there was no light in the Holy of Holies because the light was to be that of the glory of the Lord. And the people of Israel really never got to see the inside of the temple, but it must have been just amazing because everything was covered in gold. And when we've gone through the study of how it was put together, and even when Berta brought the book last week, and we were able to look at just some pictures of what men think that it looked like, so that we could just kind of visualize even through these pictures, it's amazing. And all of this was there before Solomon. And God appears to Solomon a second time. Now, when was the first time He appeared? Well, the first time He appeared to him was when Solomon had taken over the throne from his father David. David had gone to be with the Lord, and Solomon took over the throne, and the Lord appeared to Solomon and asked him, "What would you like? I will give you whatever you request." And at that time, as I mentioned on Sunday afternoon, Solomon had a humble spirit. And he said, "I am a child attempting to lead this mighty people. I need wisdom." And God said Solomon had chosen wisely, and He would give him wisdom. He also said He would give him many other blessings. He'd give him blessings of wealth and life and all of these other things that would be added to him. But He was pleased with him that he'd asked for wisdom. Now He comes a second time. He's heard the prayers that Solomon's made. And it's interesting, as you go back and when we studied the prayer that Solomon made on behalf of the people, he prayed that the people would not forget and turn from God, but they'd remember what God had done for them, how He brought them out of Egypt, how He'd given them and performed all these miracles, how He had come to dwell amongst them. And he asked that the people would not forget, and then he also, in his prayer, reaffirmed what God's curses had been when He had given the law to Moses. If the people would turn away from the Lord and turn to other gods and wouldn't follow the Lord, that curses would come upon them, and that those curses would be justified as God's judgment upon a people who were not following His will, nor desiring to serve Him. So Solomon had prayed all of this, and God had heard these prayers. And now He comes to Solomon, and He comes with a second thing that He is going to propose for Solomon. And as we look in this verse, in verse number 2, it says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, and as He had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." I want you to see that God is making the same promise that He gave to David as far as the throne that David had. He said that David's throne would be a perpetual throne. It would be a throne where there would always be the throne of David would always be sat upon, and it would be really the Messiah would sit upon the throne of David eternally. And so David's throne was significant. This house was significant. But I want you to see that there's times in Israel's history where they haven't had a king. Matter of fact, they didn't have a king for hundreds of years. And yet we know that David's throne is still in existence. We know that Jesus will come and establish his kingdom sitting on that throne. God gives Solomon the same promise with this house. He said, this house is pleasing to me. I'll perpetually be my house. And my presence will be there. But if you go and look, you'll see some interesting things. You know that there came a time where the presence of the Lord left the temple. We know there was a time where the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And this very temple that Solomon built was ravaged and torn down. We know that God allowed it to be built again, as we said on Sunday, where it was built by Ezra and Nehemiah during their time, and it was rebuilt. It wasn't to the magnificence of Solomon's temple, and then it was added onto and made more beautiful under the rule of Herod the Great, but that temple was torn down by the Romans. And if you go to Israel today, you have the Temple Mount, but there's no temple on the Temple Mount. And what's there are two Muslim mosques, which are not honoring to the Lord and which are not His house. And so, what does God mean by all of this? Well, He gives us insight into what He's saying, and we'll also get into why this perpetual temple is a reality. So, let's just take a look at what he says to Solomon. In verse 3, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. And let's go to the last portion of that verse. I have hallowed this house, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever. Mine eyes and mine heart shall be with thee perpetually, be there perpetually. And so the Lord's presence is going to be in the temple. But it's not always going to be in the same structure. And we're going to take a look at that. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. Now I want you to see there is a condition to his presence being there. And the condition is Solomon's response to him. And what he says is he desires that he walks before him as David walked. Now, I want you to understand, how did David walk? Did David sin? The answer is yes. David sinned. He did some horrible things. But also, there's two things that David never, ever did. The first thing is he never worshipped another god. You can look at David's whole life. He never worshipped the gods of the Canaanites. He never worshipped the gods of the Amorites. He never worshipped any false god. He only worshipped the true and living God. That's the first thing about David. There were times that he rebelled and sinned against God's perfect will, and that is sin. But he always confessed his sin. And the second thing I want you to see is David always realized and acknowledged his sin when confronted with that sin. And he repented of it and turned from it. These are two things that God is challenging Solomon to do with his life. And he says, if you will have a heart like your father David, in other words, if you'll only worship me, and if you'll come to the point when I convict you that you have sinned, instead of continuing on in that sin, you repent of it, turn from it, and embrace me and confess it before me, you will be walking like your father David walked. And have no other gods. And that's exactly what David did. But what else does God tell him about the conditions of this? He says, if But if ye shall turn, if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land. Now, I want you to see who was key to Israel remaining in the land and the people having the right attitude so that they stayed there, or who would be instrumental in beginning to take the people in rebellion against God so that they would end up turning against God and He'd remove them from the land. It would be the kings. It would be the leaders. There was great importance placed upon Solomon and his leadership as king, and on those who would follow after him. And you'll see that it's evident in the lives of the kings, when the kingdom splits, right after Solomon dies and Rehoboam, Solomon's son, takes over takes over the kingdom initially, the whole kingdom, and then there's civil war that occurs, and the 10 northern tribes split off and put Jeroboam as their leader, and Rehoboam remains the king of the two tribes of the south. And we see that when that occurs, it's the beginning of the nation of Israel beginning to turn away from God in a quicker fashion than it has ever before. And Israel has always had a problem with this in the past. Even shortly after they came into the land under Joshua, as long as Joshua was alive, the nation of Israel did what God said. They went in and they began to drive out the people. When Joshua died, he challenged them and said, remember, his words were, choose you this day who you will serve. Will you serve the gods of the fathers from across the flood? Will you serve the gods of the Amorites? Will you serve the gods of the people of this land? Or will you serve the true and living God? And remember, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But when Joshua died, it wasn't very long after that that the people didn't obey God, and they began to trust in other things. And they did the very thing that God said would lead them into compromise and eventually turning against Him. They didn't trust in God to come and help them, and they didn't trust in God to be able to deliver them, and instead they began to develop their own plan of keeping the people in the land to put them to servitude, even though God had told them, if you do that, they will ultimately become your downfall because they've caused compromise. Well, they did that. It didn't happen really fast. One of the amazing things you see, because of what Solomon did with his life at the end of his life, the downfall of Israel and the embracing of false gods came much quicker than at any time in the history of Israel. It took a few generations after Solomon for the people to really begin to fall into idolatry. And then you had the time of the judges where God would raise up judges, but there was always this struggle going on. And then when the kings came, as Samuel, the last judge, came before Saul and then David, then under David, we had a man after God's own heart. And he's after God's own heart because he didn't worship other gods. But his son Solomon didn't heed the warning given to him by God. And Solomon brought into the kingdom, through his many wives, false gods. And he established places of worship for their gods. He established high places. And he began to compromise in his view of the importance of only having God be the one that he would lead the nation of Israel to focus on, as he allowed these false gods to come in. And it wasn't long after he died that Jeroboam brought in complete and utter false worship into the 10 northern tribes. They had They had brought the golden calf back in and worshipped that, which was really all the way back to the worship, Baal worship and the worship of the calf, and when they came out of Egypt, all of that could be tied together in the false gods, and it just began to roll downhill very quickly. And then we see what God says the consequences would be of this. He says, "Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them." Did God do this? The answer is yes. And it was just a few hundred years after Solomon's death that the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And then about 100 years after that occurred, the southern kingdom was taken into captivity by Babylon. "And his house, which I, in this house which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all the people." Now it's interesting what happened. That's exactly what happened. The temple remained, even though the northern kingdom had been taken into captivity. But when the southern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Babylonians, the temple was eventually destroyed by Babylon. And the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, became a byword to people. If you can imagine, during the time of Solomon, kings were coming from all over the world to come to Jerusalem to talk to Solomon, to hear his wisdom, to see this beautiful house that he had built for his God, and to understand who is this God that Solomon serves, who has given him all this wisdom. And in that short period of time, the nation of Israel fell, the temple of God was gone, and it became really a laughingstock, if you would, amongst the nations. And we're no longer the ones that were looked up to. And just as God had said. And also, people who had once come to admire the house of the Lord and what Solomon's wisdom and how he spoke of his God now came and hissed or ridiculed or made sport of what they saw. And God said that that would happen, and it happened. And they'd say, "Why hath the Lord done this unto the land and to his house? Why did God do this?" And they shall answer, "Because they forsook their Lord, their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and have served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil." It wasn't that they didn't have, it wasn't because they didn't have the proper amount of armaments. It wasn't because they weren't prepared for battle. It wasn't because they didn't have enough, a big enough defense budget. It was because they had turned their back on God. And God made them and brought this evil upon them because of their rejection of Him. Now I want you to just stop and look at our nation. And has this principle, even though we are not Israel, but yet the principle of turning your back on God and seeing exactly where it leads you, we are seeing the fruit of that occur in our own country. And there was an evangelist by the name of Ron Susek who spoke at our church in 1981 at Grace Baptist. He brought the series of evangelistic messages. And he was talking at that time about what was happening in America. And at that time, we didn't have nearly what we see happening today. We didn't have an Islamic invasion like we're having today. We didn't have this total open borders policy. We didn't have families being just ripped apart. We didn't have children being assaulted being destroyed physically and emotionally. We didn't have all of the evil, evil things that were happening. But you were beginning to see some of those things. There was things like occultic fascination beginning to come into our culture. I remember, we don't even have newspapers anymore, but back at that time, one of the big things was a horoscope that they used to put in the paper. And there were even Christian people that would, the first thing they do is they get up in the morning, get the paper, and look at their horoscope. And I just want you to see how illogical this was, but I want you to see where it was leading people. Now, in this horoscope, you have 12 zodiac signs, and they would give for one of the, for each of those 12 signs what was going to happen to the person who was born under that sign. Now, I want you to stop and think how illogical that was. Because all the people that would be born under that sign would have the same horoscope, but I can guarantee you not the same thing happened to them every day. But that people put their trust in that. And they look to that for advice and guidance. Even Christians. And what it did is it opened up a little crack for Satan. And you saw more and more occult. You saw movies becoming, and television shows becoming more and more brazen, with wickedness and evil replacing that which was good and taking the place of it. And you begin to see the tone of television shows, where once when you first had television come out and you had television series, there'd be husbands and wife, and you know in the early television shows, the husband and wife slept in twin beds, and even sleep in a double bed because of the appearance that it would give. How different that is today, where you don't even have hardly any TV shows, but the ones you do are, you know, Katie bar the door. And the thing is, all the things that you see and the wickedness that is there, but you begin to see the cracks opening. And what Ron Susick said in his message, someone asked him, because they were saying, why are we seeing things, some of the things happen in our country? Why are we seeing, at that time, it was the feminist movement was big. We also saw rebellion coming on the college campuses. We begin to see the use of drugs becoming more prevalent. And somebody said, why is that happening? He said, because God is removing His hand of protection from the nation of America, because America is turning their back on God. How much more is it today? Where you have people that claim they're Christians and don't even know the gospel. I was listening to a man the other day who claims that he's a Christian, but he yet can't verbalize the gospel properly. And then he is anti-Semitic to the core, and he encourages people to speak against the Zionists of Israel. And yet, I can guarantee you there are literally thousands of people across America that listen to him. And the problem is, like so many people like that, he will have somebody that he interviews that is very right on, and the next person will be worse than him. And there's so much confusion in the church and in Christianity that it's like it was during the time when Solomon became at the end of his reign and he began to allow all these false gods to come in. And he'd say, well, those are my wife's gods. We don't serve those, but I just allow them because they, after all, you got to realize they're away from their families and they're away, and that's what they grew up with. And whatever excuse he gave for allowing it to happen. But remember, we still serve the real God. But then, within a generation, they were setting up golden calves in the northern end of Israel. They were worshiping false gods. They were setting up a different place of worship and worshiping a different God and calling Him Yahweh. All within the space of one generation. And today in America, look at what's happening. Today, Benjamin Netanyahu comes to the United States to give a speech in Congress to tell what's really happening in the world. I didn't get a chance to listen to the whole speech, but I listened to part of it. And one of the things that he said was really true. The battle that we are fighting is not a nation against nation. It is good against evil. We are fighting real wickedness. And if you don't help us, we are going to win this fight. But if you don't help us, you are on the side of wickedness and evil. You know that there were 46 congressmen that are protesting and they're not going to listen to him speak. And the one who is the head of the pro tem of the Senate, the Vice President of the United States, she did not go. She went and spoke a campaign rally at a sorority house instead of going to hear Benjamin Netanyahu. That is how far our country has fallen. Totally turning their back on, not knowing what's good and evil, right and wrong, and yet you have many people in the country that say they're Christians but can't verbalize the gospel. We're no different than Israel was. You know, God said, "This is my temple, Solomon. My presence will be there." I want to tell you, God's presence will never leave that temple. The Lord's presence is in the temple in heaven, the true temple. The Lord said that when Jesus returns to earth and establishes his kingdom, he will build a temple that will outshine Solomon's temple, and he'll rule from the throne of David, and his presence will be in that temple, just as he said it would always be there. But his presence will be removed if Solomon removed his faithfulness to God. God will never desert his people. But he never said that he would bless a land, whether it be Israel or America, if his people desert him. And the thing is, he didn't bless the land of Israel when the Israelites abandoned God. He judged them, but he always said, I will not forsake you. I'll bring you back into the land. Unfortunately, America doesn't have those promises with our nation. We've been blessed because God did something so unique where he brought all the peoples of the world into America and blessed it as a nation because really we've been a Christian nation, building our nation upon Judeo-Christian values with this book at the center of our heritage. And there's always been a battle for the hearts and souls of men in our country. There have always been those that would be wicked and evil that would fight against the truth. But men of God understood who God was, and they were like David in their character. But when men begin to be like Solomon in their character, and allow that which was evil to be placed alongside that which was good, and then the next generation became even more wicked in their character and replaced the good with evil, God cannot bless a land. And so consequently, we're seeing the fruit of decisions being made. Does it mean that God isn't working in the church? Oh, God's working in the church. He's working in people's lives. You're seeing people come to Christ. But people that are truly Christians and truly understand what God means when he said we need to have the character of David, Solomon needed to have the character of his father, our focus needs to be on God, not the world. Our focus needs to be on following the principles of God and not the principles of this world. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to see this very sobering promise that God made to Solomon. And yet Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived, yet did not make proper application of that wisdom in his life, nor did he heed the warning that God gave him if he didn't pursue with a heart like David. May we have hearts like David. We don't want another God. We just want you. We want to know you better. We want to grow closer to you. We want to be like you. We want to reflect your character. We want to be used by you to touch other people. And even when we stumble and fall, we want to show other people the depth of your grace and that you pick us up and forgive us for our sin and use us in spite of ourselves. And may you receive the glory and the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You return with me to 577. All perfect love. All